It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, how is technology changing the world of medicine? Gosh, in so many ways, you know, doctors are performing surgery with robotics, and they're even doing some surgery via, you know, Skype and over voicemail and different things, and people are having electronic medical records, and there are just so many ways that technology is changing the world of medicine now. My guest is Mike Salvaggio. He's a nationally known technology expert and co-founder of SEO Brand. Welcome to the show, Mike. Let's speak about technology and medicine now. I mean, there's so many ways to diagnose symptoms, treat patients. There's apps for different things. I mean, just it's crazy now.
Thanks for having me, Mel. Yes, it really is crazy, but it's also exciting at the same time. I mean, just every day there seems to be a new app that's released, and the direction that we're being taken in terms of medical technology, I mean, we're really at a breakthrough time.
We really are. So, and I said voicemail before, that was stupid. I meant telemedicine, you know, where doctors can even talk to other doctors while they're performing surgery. And then there is that whole new dizzying world of changing over to electronic medical records. What's going on with that?
Well, that's a very exciting but somewhat boring, I guess, topic, you would think. But, I mean, just think about it. The days of having file folders and shelves and boxes and just the time that was lost trying to access information from a patient perspective has been gained. I mean, astronomical gains, where someone can just type a couple of things into a database and pull up an entire patient's medical history.
And that's true,
just
Mike,
from the time.
And I like that I can go on to my, you know, my hospital network's website and I can log in and find my own medical records, my test results, even sometimes before the doctor calls me. And I can. But what about the fact that if it's there out there in the clouds, it can also be easily tampered with? I mean, just as we used to worry about fires and floods with all those records and boxes.
Well, I mean, that's the trade-off, and that's an excellent point. We have to rely on the security of the networks to be able to handle such sensitive information. With, you know, HIPAA laws and privacy, and just as you mentioned, someone actually hacking into a database that's unsecured and have your entire medical history, I mean, the effects of something like that could be quite devastating. I would agree.
Now, what about apps? I know that there's an app for letting a patient know it's the time to take their medication, which might help increase, you know, adherence to medication taking, and apps for exercise and fitness, helping you get healthier and watch your diet and in the grocery store. What other kind of apps are out there for this?
Well, there's plenty of apps. I mean, one of my favorite apps is MyFitnessPal, which allows me every day to track calories. It allows me to track carbohydrates and different recipes for proper food intake. That's an excellent app, and there's a lot of apps that are just like this, but this is a very good one. Another one is called Strana, which is tracks all of bike routes. So if you're into exercising, it could track what your progress was over a month period of time or weeks or even days. Two of those are very good fitness-related apps, but there are so many apps out there, as you had mentioned, apps to remind patients when to take their meds. And even where a doctor can monitor a patient from afar, whether or not they're taking their meds or not. So all kinds of good stuff out there.
And do you think that where the internet is concerned, and we've all heard, don't check your symptoms on the internet, unless, of course, you're listening to Radio MD, and we're helping you through that. You can trust us. I mean, do you think that went a little bit awry for a while, where people find a little dot and all of a sudden they've got melanoma? You know, they're telling themselves oh my God, I've got a brain tumor because I had a headache last night.
I've been on the end of that, where I found something like a small little skin bump and looked at it, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, I have to go to a radiologist or something like that. So we've all been there. But that's really the danger of it. You have to make sure that you're using a branded website. You know, obviously the Radio MD, I mean, these types of brands
of course
that are out there, you know, that's where you're going to get your most trusted information. But you have to be careful, because if somebody knows how to optimize a website, they can pretty much put anything on the net. And just because it's there, it doesn't necessarily make it true. It could put people in a panic.
Now, as far as doctors are concerned, you know, they've got their mobile devices that are on call in hospitals. They've all got, you know, they used to just have their pagers, page me, but now they've got their smartphones and their tablets, and they can cruise around and go in and just look up something really quickly, or patients can reach them on the go. Is this making life easier or more difficult for doctors?
I think the accessibility for doctors becomes a problem. Where, you know, the only time that you could talk to a doctor was to visit the office or, you know, even a telephone conference. Now, with all of these devices, you just expect everyone, not just from a doctor, but to respond to you instantly. So I think if a doctor or a medical professional can really understand how to manage his time and set expectations for people, then I think it's manageable. But at the same time, you're probably seeing a lot less of people going into the doctor's office, so they can just access information they wouldn't normally be privy to without these devices. So it's definitely a trade-off.
And as far as like all of the new technology in medicine itself, computers, robotics, you know, MRI and CAT scan advances to where we can see the minutest detail of brains and arteries inside. I mean, that part fascinates me, Mike. That is the part that just gives me chills when I think about what they can do now.
And you're right. It's these advances, specifically in nanotechnology, where they could place cameras inside of pills, have you swallow the pill, and map out the entire digestive system. Very unintrusive technology. That's just one of many examples to touch base based upon what you were saying. It's unbelievable the advances that are out there now.
I mean, soon they're going to be able to figure out ways we're all going to be living to 200 because they're going to say, oop, we see something in there, fix it robotically, and, you know, we're good to go. But it is rather amazing. Do you think that there are some spots where technology shouldn't intervene? My example that I would say is the doctor-patient relationship.
Doctor-patient relationship is definitely a good example. But I guess there's that whole moral aspect, too, where, you know, there's this whole division of singularity where they're saying that in the next 20 or 30 years, where man and machine kind of come one, and they're going to figure out how to reverse the aging process. So, you know, that's off on a whole nother tangent, but it does cross the line of what you're talking about. I mean, where should the line be drawn? And those are two really good examples.
Well, and that's exactly what I'm asking, and I think nobody has that answer, but I think it's your own comfort level. If you're not somebody comfortable texting back and forth with your doctor about results or something and you want to sit face-to-face, then, you know, maybe that's one of those places where you speak up and say, I need that personal interaction.
I think you're right, and there's always going to be a certain percentage of people that are going to want to do that. But it just seems that with the trends that are going on right now, with this latest uncovering of the NSA and all these different privacy laws being broken, I just think that there's a certain demographic, especially the younger demographic, that are so used to giving up this personal information that they're really not making that much of a big deal out of it.
Well, and I think with some people, the young people, it might even be if a doctor's trying to reach a teenager, that then texting might be just the way for that doctor to develop a trusting relationship. In the last 30 seconds, Mike, give us your sort of best advice on how technology really can improve our health and how we should use it.
I think social media is a big part of this. I mean, you can see different types of communities with people that have the same symptoms. For instance, I found a psoriasis page where you have thousands of members all talking about a pretty pesky symptom to cure, all sharing information of what worked for them, what did not work, and it just brought a community together very, very fast. So in that aspect, I think technology can be wonderful for sharing ideas and for the instant access of information that would be previously pretty difficult to access.
Well, we are moving fast as a nation. Technology is improving all the time, and it's helping us be more healthy and more mindful of our health. That's really the key, too. You're listening to Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. And, of course, the technology here at Radio MD is awesome. You can get great health information.